Well, welcome to the Inner Garden Fun and Learn program. I'm Barbara Leonard and my co-host Jeannie Martin. Would you like to say hi?
Yes, good evening everyone. Glad you can be with us.
Yeah, how about introducing your guest that you have with you?
Well, tonight we have Reverend Heather Quinney, and Heather and Barb and I have been good friends for many years now. And tonight Heather's going to talk to us about dreams. To look at our dreams, analyze them, and everything else that she knows so well about the dream world.
That's going to be great, because if we've got people listening in, they can phone in. I sent a whole bunch of stuff out, so did you. Mm-hmm. And they can phone in toll-free. If they don't know the number, so it will be on the site when they're in there. And we sent them out. And they can phone Heather and ask her about their dreams and how that would affect their life. And, of course, we're the three revs that were revved up together, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
Yes. They didn't know what they were doing when they let us loose.
Now we're just going to rev up the whole world.
Yeah, Heather, don't know if you watched Dr. Oz the other day when they had the dream coach on.
No, I didn't see that one.
Well, it was really interesting because anybody that follows his program, he's a cardiologist and does heart surgery for people, serious stuff. And he also has this program now that was sponsored by Oprah. And it's quite interesting because he does a lot of alternative methods and talks about them and introduces people to the methods that he says to use along with, you know, the medical profession. And I was busy making bread, so I couldn't get in to watch it. But I heard him say to this girl about dreams, and it was just after you'd been to the church and had that program that we did on dreams.
Great. Yeah. Coincidences, eh? No such
thing. Well, I don't. Yeah, God essence, maybe, right?
Yeah. But well, you know, dreams have been used for a very long time to people in their life. Thomas Edison kept a cot in his workspace. And whenever he faced a problem or needed an answer, he would just lay down and virtually go to sleep and dream the solution.
Well,
and,
you know.
Robert Louis Stevenson, he wrote Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. The whole story in one thing. Laid down, went to sleep, and woke up with it.
Wow.
So, you know, dreams can really be used to our advantage to help us in life.
I know the night that you were there, we were talking about different types of things. And the one that I mentioned is that occasionally I'll have a dream where I feel like I'm either in the back seat of the car and I'm trying to get to the driver's seat because the car is going on its own, or I'll be in the passenger seat trying to get to the driver's seat. And we were talking a little bit about that maybe has to do with control issue.
And feeling like things in your life are out of control.
Yeah, and can't get in control of them, or don't feel like you're in the driver's seat, I guess.
Right. It often shows itself up, too. You might be trying to dial a phone, or you can't find a phone, or you can't, the numbers won't work on the phone.
Or I've had that. I've
the
had
brakes
that.
In your car. You're stepping on the brakes. You're trying to stop the vehicle you're in. It's letting you know that your life is out of control.
Yeah, so your own subconscious is kind of telling you there's something not going quite right.
Absolutely.
And, you know, really, consciously, you probably just think you're fine.
Oftentimes we do, and that's why dreams are so useful, is they can really bring us back into touch with reality.
Mm. It's very interesting what goes on in the dream state.
Absolutely.
What about you, Jeannie? Have you had any kind of odd dreams?
Well, I guess the ones that stand out to me over the years are the ones that were almost like lucid dreaming. And I feel that in those situations, I had literally entered another dimension.
Uh-huh.
And as I look back over probably the thousands of dreams in my lifetime, those are the ones that really stand out very clear for me in the memory. And I can think about them even now and be in that picture again. So I was just going to ask Heather, are dreams also portals into other dimensions?
I think so, and everything I've read certainly points to that as well. And oftentimes you can tell whether that dream is, whether you're actually experiencing that in another space-time paradigm, or whether you're literally still here. And that is by the brightness of the colors you see. Because oftentimes when you're off, out of your mind and out of this world, the colors will be extremely vivid, almost as if they're alive. And the feeling is different, too, because you're not watching it. You're right there in it, very involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other thing, too, do you find some people think they don't dream in color?
I've heard that said, that some people don't dream in color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never even actually gave it a thought till one time I had this dream. And in the dream, I thought to myself, well, you know, just what's going on here? Because I've got this clear water. It's like clear with a little bluey tinge to it. And all these beautiful gems, rubies and emeralds and sapphires, everything, all laying down on the bottom of this little kind of creek or river that was running. And I woke up the next day and said, well, you know, isn't that interesting? Because obviously I'm seeing color in my dream, and it was vivid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, brighter than I've ever seen gems in this life. You know? So interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, too, if the dream world is the opportunity for our subconscious mind to vent, by that I mean letting go of some of the thoughts and images that might have passed through our mind during the daytime, so that it just gives up those things that are not necessary to hold in the subconscious and does them in the form of pictures or movies or something of that sort. What do you think of that, Heather?
Well, certainly the subconscious has a great part to play. And one of the things that both Jeannie and I learned in our hypnosis training was that the dreams that you have as you're going to sleep, that's your subconscious going through your day. And the dreams deep into the night, say 2, 3, 4 o'clock, those are the real ones from the subconscious. And they're actually the most important ones for you to journal. The dreams in the morning just before you're coming back up into the beta state, that's dumping excess information that your brain has recorded where it needs to record if necessary, and it's just letting go of that extra. So really those dreams deep into the night, they're the ones where your subconscious is telling you, letting you know things, what's really going on.
Well, you know, that can be very helpful then.
Mm-hmm.
Because and a lot of times you're trying to sort things out, and I think if we could pay attention to our dreams, a lot of people don't remember them, or if they do, they remember them at the moment, and 5 minutes later, it's faded.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that even with some dreams I've had. You know?
That's why a dream journal can be so very useful, because you want to look at things that are happening in dreams, like how are you feeling when you're dreaming, and how do you feel when you wake up? Because those emotions can tell you a great deal about what's going on. Also, of course, you're usually, if you're a woman and you're having a dream about the main character as a woman, that's usually part of you that's going on there. So, you know, whatever that lead player is expressing, it's what's happening in your life. And if it's the opposite gender, it's very likely the male side or opposite gender side of yourself.
Mm.
Those are things to pay attention to.
Jeannie, have you ever had a dream where you feel like you're part of a family, you're really familiar there, but when you wake up, you don't know any of the people that are there?
Oh, I don't know about that. Tell me. Have you had that experience, Barb?
Yeah.
Wow.
And very interesting, because it seems at the time that when you're in the dream, that these are family members or they're familiar to you, and you're supposed to be there, and you're part, that you're in that so-called play in the dream or whatever. It's really interesting, because it seems quite familiar, and it's okay. There's no, and the house or the surroundings or whatever are really familiar to you.
Mm-hmm. And sorry. Go ahead.
Kind of wonder if some of that isn't like astral traveling and crossing over on at the seat of the soul into another experience, other life experience.
Mm-hmm. I have had dreams of being in places, gatherings of people, and I didn't know where I was. Although, as I looked at those individuals, they looked pretty real to me, mm-hmm. but I didn't know who they were. So maybe that's a little bit along those lines. You get thoughts on that, Heather?
Well, I know in dreams sometimes people that you know will play a role that they don't play in this lifetime. Like you may be dreaming that a brother or sister is someone you're married to or is your boss or something like that. So I think the people that we exist with in this life do play other roles, even in our dream time.
It's interesting, too, that I was talking to my, like I talked to my students, and both of you have been in the class at one time or another, and the one thing I talk about in being able to sense a person is that you could have a dream about your brother. It could look like a girl running along the beach in a bikini bathing suit, and you'd laugh and wake up and say, oh, I had this dumb dream about my brother and he was a girl. And you'd stop and say, well, how did I know it was my brother? Because the completely different gender, completely different look, but we must know the feeling of the brother because we know the feeling of the aura of that person so that we know that even though they don't look like who they are, we know that it was the brother or the mm-hmm. sister or the Aunt Susie, and yet it could look like Aunt Mary. You know, and you know you're dreaming about Aunt Susie when you wake up and say, well, I had this dream about Aunt Susie, but she looked like Aunt Mary, you know.
Mm-hmm. So it,
although maybe I have funny dreams. Maybe that's where that comes from.
I wonder, Barb, if we can take the opportunity to tell our listeners what the call-in number is. It's 1-888-815-9756. And if anyone would like to call us toll-free and ask about a dream or share a dream with us, feel free to do that.
And that would be fantastic. A lot of times, Heather, it's interesting because one day Jeannie and I were on talking about hypnosis, and we were getting quite engrossed in it and everything. And we had a number of calls afterwards saying, oh, we didn't want to call because it was too interesting. We missed something. Because, you know, they have to wait on the line, obviously.
Yeah.
And, of course, at the beginning, the way things come up on my screen for Skype, it's a little different than it used to do. And I have to take a bit of time to find out where the stuff is coming through. So if somebody is on the line, I didn't know up until now. I've got it showing so that I can see if somebody comes on the line. So if you're wanting to call in, do call in and ask us those questions that you always wanted to know the answer to.
I was wondering something, Heather. When you have a dream that feels somewhat like a premonition, is there some way to be able to tell whether, in fact, that is a premonition or not?
Well, sometimes we do get premonitions in our dreams, and I think the best way is to really look at it and connect with the feeling of it. How did it feel to you? Because emotion is a big part of telling where you're at in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got to make that
Well, I guess I'm talking about sometimes people say they're going to take a trip to Britain or something, and then they have this premonition that the plane's going down.
Right, and it came through a dream.
A dream.
Yeah. I think it's always important to consider those things, to look at them, whether you want to let them control your life. I don't know, but there's been a lot of times, as you know, we get intuitive impressions, even awake, that tell us things, and we listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
We may find that, you know, by not going down that same street we drive to every day to work, that we've been avoided an accident. And definitely I have had people who have dreamt that the plane that they're going on has crashed, and they've said, no, I'm not going on that plane this time. But I think it's the inner knowing, that sense of where's the emotion. you know, is this just scary or is there a deep knowing that you need to change your plan?
And maybe there's some situations where if you do have a dream like that and then you stop and take a check and find out if there was anything else over the prior days that might have been halting you from taking that trip, whether it be not being able to get your ticket in the right way or all of the different things that might have been stopping you, including the dream.
Right. And sometimes there's unconscious or subconscious things that are happening in the background, like, you know, gee, can I really afford to take this trip? Or, well, you know, Grandma's been pretty sick, and we don't know how long she's going to be with us, and those kind of things. So you kind of have to weigh whether this is coming out of the blue or whether you have some emotional attachment to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was telling Heather, Jeannie, that I'd had, was taking a trip back to Ontario when my mother was still alive, and I was going back to set her up in a care facility. And I was fine going down. I had no problem. Then Ozzy met me down there for a holiday for a week or so, kind of a holiday running back and forth with my mom, and had a dream that we were going to the airport, and I was looking out through this big glass window, and the plane with the orange tail was sitting there, and I watched it take off, and it went up, and in takeoff, it got up so far, and it started to spin and smoke and come down. So I woke up and I thought, oh my God, we've got to take a plane back to BC. And that's a horrible dream. So I thought, well, you know, we're going to have to go back anyway. So I'm just going to try to dismiss it. Well, we go up to London, Ontario from Toronto. And as we're driving over in the countryside outside of London, we see this plane going up, up, up. And all of a sudden it starts to spin. And smoke comes out of its tail, and it's coming down in a spiral. And I'm going, oh, my God. And then realized that the air show was on in London. And this was part of the air show that we were seeing over top of our overhead. Well, I'll tell you, my heart went into my mouth. And then I thought, okay, I've been going through a period where I dream something, and a couple of days later something similar would happen, right? So I thought, oh, it's just one of these things, and there it is. I'm not going to have to worry. Until I got to the airport, and I'm looking out at, through this big glass window at an orange tail on the plane I'm going to get on. Well, I will tell you, how I got on that plane, I will never know. But I white-knuckled it all the way home. And, of course, going to Toronto, it went straight through. No landing, just straight through from Vancouver to Toronto. Coming back, no, it has to drop down in Calgary and then come back up, and I have to go through another, waiting for it to go up in the air and hoping it's not going to spin out of the control.
Yeah.
You know, so you're thinking to yourself, and so that's kind of one thing, and it really, what I actually had dreamed, I guess, was the little premonition of what we were going to see the next day, and because we were going to be flying, it kind of mixed with it, right?
Yeah.
And then recently, a friend of ours, not that she dreamed it, but they were supposed to be going to New Zealand. And she had a cold, really bad cold. Then her husband got the really bad cold, didn't know if they were going to get to the plane, went down, and they were on standby because they're with the airlines themselves. Eh? So they're on standby to get on the plane. And I guess a seat came available. It was way at back of the plane, and they decided, no, we're not going. And after all these blocks, they decided not to go. And they came home and they said, oh, to heck with it, let's go down to, I think it was California or Florida, which doesn't really matter in the story. And they're down there, and all that earthquake hit New Zealand, right where they would have been.
Oh, there you go.
So, you know, you can get those things wide awake. You know, wide awake impressions, and we don't pay attention to those sometimes either. But she really pays attention to what she picks up. She just figured after about three times that there was blocks in her way, she wasn't supposed to go.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that comes to mind, a very short story here, is my mother used to have a recurring dream. And she had it from childhood right up until she married my father and right up until 1939. And when this dream was, she would in an open area inside of a stone building, and in front of her was a spiral staircase, and she was running up the staircase. Something was chasing her. When she got to the top of the staircase, she ran into a room, and she knew that there was no way out of that room, and whatever happened, she believed she died there. So she had the dream hundreds of times in her lifetime, and then she and my father went over to Britain in 1939, and she walked into Carnarvon Castle, and she said, there it was. And there was the staircase, which, of course, are the stone turrets, staircases that go up to the turrets of the castles. And once you're up there, of course, there's only one way up and one way out. And she said every step of the way, as she'd seen this so many hundreds of times in her dream. And then when she went up into the top of the turret, of course, the furniture in her dream was not there, because it would have been hundreds of years later, probably. And but everything was exactly the way she remembered it, and she never had the dream again. So she believes that it was a vision of a past life that she had. And your thoughts on that, Heather?
Well, that's really interesting, because I've had a similar experience myself. I was engaged to a fellow who died, and I had, for many years after his death, I had the same dream. There was a moose eating water lilies in the corner of a lake. There was a little beautiful log cabin there. It was fall, and a train would go along the back of the lake and blow his whistle, and I would wake up. That's where I would wake up every time. And I had this dream for years, and I was telling somebody about it one day when this fellow's brother happened to be in the room. And after our company left, he said to me, "I know where that lake is that you're dreaming about." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you never told me you had that dream before." And he said, "That's the house that this gentleman that I was engaged to had put a down payment on and that we would have lived in."
Wow.
Had died. And once I knew where that was, I didn't have the dream again.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that just something?
But it is. It's kind of a part of us wanting to let us know that this is real.
Yeah.
And that, you know.
Well, like when we do that exercise where we go on the three different trips, one is to do a trip to the seat of the soul and then have another energy that is performing in another dimension take you down, like a kindred spirit. And then we do one in a parallel life and then one in a future. And that's interesting, because that's a path you didn't travel, but there was still an experience going on there that would have been there.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable, eh?
You know, the Seth material that was written in the 70s by Jane Roberts, who did channeled the information known as Seth, talked about that. So that if that information said that if you had thought about becoming a nurse, and you ended up being an accountant, that there was a part of you that was actually off being a nurse.
You know, we did a thing, and here's what's really funny about that, Jeannie. When I was teaching in 1972, and then I taught right up until just 2 years ago. But in the 70s, when that was a fresh material, somebody said to me, "Have you ever read the Seth books?" And I said, "No." And they said, "Well, it's funny because your teachings are very much the same as what is in the Seth books." And I said, "Oh, really?" So, right or wrong or indifferent, I decided that I would not read them, because I didn't want to be influenced in the teaching and then have people think that I kind of stole it. But
yep,
it just shows you that the same things come down from spirit. The truth comes down. It's not exclusive to one person. And so it's been really interesting. But as now, that part that you're talking about, one time was sitting with, you know, Gloria Braff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Norma Cowie, and I think a whole bunch of us, just when we were on Tomorrow's Fortune. And we were sitting in a coffee shop just before we came home, maybe having lunch or whatever. And we did this what-if game. What if at every crossroad that's a crucial crossroad in your life, that part of you goes down that one and is connected to spirit and still doing a performance down the line that you didn't take. And we were doing this what if thing. Well, I mean, we're talking back in the 80s then, and now we're in 2000, and it's becoming more of a reality in the spiritual world.
Exactly.
You know, people are starting to realize that there is a connection there.
Mm-hmm. And Heather, is there something that you could share with us to give us a little bit of further insight into our dreaming and just how that might guide us in our life?
We have a fellow named Jerry online too, so can we just hold that other thought? Jerry, are you there? Hello, Jerry. Oh,
hello?
Janice? Oh, Janice. Hi, Janice.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Good. You're better than you were, right?
I'm trying to be.
Would you like to ask Heather something about one of your dreams, Janice?
Yes. I was wondering. I was raised by my grandmother from like a six-week-old baby, and I never dreamt about her, and I was very, very close to her. And I never dreamt about her for years, and she's been gone over 30 years now. And I've had two dreams about her, but they were both very shocking dreams. Like, I could feel her, I could smell her. And in both dreams, she told me that something was making her really sick. And I don't know what that meant, whether it was a warning for me or she sees something in my life that was making her feel sick, or I know it's nothing that I've done because, you know, I haven't, like, I just know that it's nothing that I've really done.
Well, you had a good relationship with your grandmother, right?
Pardon me?
You had a really good relationship with your grandmother.
I had a wonderful relationship with her. I was the 10th. I was number 10. She had 9 children of her own, and she raised them all. My dad was the youngest, and then she raised me from a six-week-old baby. So she was anything that I am is because of her. I mean, she was just such a wonderful woman.
Have you got thoughts on that?
Pardon me?
Hi. Hi. Thanks for sharing that story with us, Janice. There's a couple of things there. The experience you had, although it was in your dream time, is an actual meeting, I feel, with your grandmother. They're very different just being in a dream because you can touch, you can feel, they're right there. It's so very, very real. Different from a dream where that somebody is there, but it's not the same. It doesn't have that connection.
No.
Right. And I think she was trying to tell you that something in your life is making her sick. There's something upsetting that's going on in your life. And can you identify with that, knowing when the dream arrives?
I really can. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. So they do come. Loved ones will come through our dream time to give us warnings or to let us know that, you know, we need to change something in our life. We need to do something.
Yeah, because she was incredible. She was just, you know, she was a walking saint to everybody. No one ever said a mean word against her. She couldn't say a mean word against anybody. She found good in everyone. You know, she was that kind of person. You just don't see people like that, except for Reverend Barbara.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That may be
and
Jeannie
that is
and
so
Heather.
True. She's all the good people in my life rolled into one.
Oh,
that's
thank
Reverend
you.
Barbara.
Well, you know, that is probably really true, isn't it, Heather, that it's identification with grandma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you couldn't listen to anybody else, you'd probably listen to grandma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if she's saying that she's upset about something that's going on, just kind of think back on what that might be and what she wants you to do to correct it.
I know, but that's just, I don't know. You know, I don't know. And then when I wake up, I carry that heaviness in my heart for days. Like, I could still feel her. Like, it's almost like she's with me, like, you know, the taste of her, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's just like you can, I haven't felt that since she was alive.
Are you keeping a dream journal, Janice?
No, I don't.
Very
I should.
Start keeping a dream journal and start to translate your dreams, and it'll come to you. It'll be very clear what it is she's telling you.
Oh, because I've had two dreams, but I haven't dreamt again.
Yeah, you might not necessarily dream of her, but some of the things in the dreams that you're getting, that you are getting, may make a link with what she's trying to tell you.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying there, I think. Because I understand what you're talking about, because I had a dream about my father one night. My dad was barrel-chested. I was telling Heather about this. And I even the shirt that he was wearing, I mean, we even have a picture with him, that shirt on. And gave him a hug, which wasn't unusual, but I could even feel his barrel chest. And
wow.
I thought when I woke up, that was so real. I must have gone and visited him, because it really didn't seem like a dream. And like you, I didn't really feel really bad, but I felt a little bit sad that my dad really wasn't here when I woke up. You know?
Yeah.
But
well,
that's
so much.
Good advice, Heather.
Yes, thank you. And I will. That's a good idea to keep a journal.
Especially those ones.
You know,
ones
if I can write.
In the middle of the night. Really?
Oh,
really,
yeah.
Those ones that are happening in the middle of the night. And if you can, keep a pen and paper by your bed. When you wake up, try not to do things like get up and go to the bathroom first or stir around too much, move around too much. And just lay there quietly and think about all the details of the dream and just soak it all in. Try to get it
and
really strong in your memory.
Every night I'm awake at 10 after 3. 10 after 3, I'm wide awake.
What time did your grandmother pass away?
It's not 3:12 or 3:14 or 3:22. It's 10 after 3. Every night, and I'm wide awake, you know, what am I doing awake? And then I start thinking, and sometimes I'll fall back asleep quickly, and sometimes it's like an hour or two. So
did your grandmother pass away
either, you know?
Time?
Well, get that pen and paper out and start recording what's happening just before you wake up.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure listening to your show.
Thank you, Janice, and you take care.
Thanks, Janice.
Thank you.
Janice. Thanks,
Eva.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That is a really nice lady. I don't know if you guys know who it is. When you see her, you would maybe know who she is.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an absolutely fantastic lady, just spiritually generous to the core. So she sees good in everybody, too, because of how good she is. So, Heather, we're talking about the journaling, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It just has to be a scribbler. It doesn't have to be anything fancy, right?
Just a scribbler will do just fine. But there are a few things that you want to take particular note of. You want to take note of, as I said earlier, your emotion during the dream and your emotion when you wake up. You want to look at who are the main players in the dream. What was the setting of the dream? And what were the symbols or objects or buildings in the dream? And then, of course, the dream narrative, like kind of what was it about? And from there, then you can go to several things. I have a couple of favorites. I call them my Dream Bible. And that's a book written by Wilda B. Tanner. It's called The Mystical, Magical, Marvelous World of Dreams. The reason I like this one is because it's spiritually based. And it's very easy to work with, and lots of information in this book on how to help you decipher your dream. The other one that I always have on hand, especially when animals come up, not only in dreams, but when they start showing themselves in real life as well, but that's a book by Ted Andrews called Animal Speaks. And that'll give you connections into the symbolism of what the animals are trying to teach you as they come.
There's so much depth to what goes on in our world that we're like on the tip of the iceberg.
Absolutely.
We have, you know, we really don't know the depth of our own abilities. And, you know, using the dreams, this isn't something that's just come up in our society. This is something that's been going on in other societies for many years, using dreams. Even in the Bible, Pharaoh brought Joseph in to interpret what his dream was.
They play a vital role in our everyday life, and they're more than just stress release mechanisms. They put us in touch with other realities, other places. Life, unconsciousness, or the unconscious part of our life.
Yeah.
We operate on more than purely the physical level. And so this can be a little window into what's really going on.
Well, you know, I just think that if people would just get on the phone now and give us some of their dreams, otherwise we're going to have to share our dreams and they may get all our secrets that way. You know, I may tell Heather something I don't want to tell her by giving her a dream.
There you go.
That isn't
well,
really
if anyone would like to call in, just dial 1-888-815-9756, and that's toll-free, and you can get directly to us and share your dreams or ask questions about your dreams. I want to know something, Heather. I once had a dream about someone who was, I wouldn't call a friend, someone I had met. And this dream was that he was dying in a lame way in a town that I wasn't familiar with. And I was very upset because it was so real. I felt that that's exactly what was happening. And when I woke up, I was really upset for about an hour after, and I couldn't get it off my mind because I was trying to dig him out of this place that he was obviously, he was face down in a really kind of a terrible setting. And so after, as I was looking back on the dream, I thought, well, you know, this person isn't like a family member or someone super close to me, but there he was. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you're going to look at something like the connection that your emotion has. Because the emotion is there and you're that connected, you're probably experiencing a part of yourself. The part of yourself that's in some sort of trouble, part of yourself that you need to look at and do something about. And obviously you were trying to do something about because you were trying to dig this person out, trying to assist this person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say that kind of dream is trying to show you something that's going on in your own life. This is a male part of yourself. Maybe it's your need to control, maybe it's your need to be in charge, whatever. But that part of you is creating some sort of issue. And so that's why it's really important when you're doing your dream journaling is to also make a note of what's going on in your life at that time.
Mm-hmm. So I've just wondered, then he took a personification in the dream as just a figure in the dream representing more of
yourself.
Of myself.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. creating that emotion to let you know that something needs to be done here.
Mm-hmm.
To bring that concern to the forefront. Do you really see that something you're doing here? And when you start journaling your dreams and keeping track of them and deciphering them, then it really will show you what's going on. The other useful thing about dreams is you can actually program yourself to dream at night. And you can solve problems. You can pose a question. And if you're going to do this, write your question down on a piece of paper, because if you're anything like lots of us, me in particular, you forget what the question was. You have this wonderful dream, but you forget what the question was that you went to sleep with. So write it down on your piece of paper, little scrap of paper, or your dream journal, your doodling the night before, and then when your dream comes, you know what you're being talked about. Now, it may not answer that. It may answer something else. But just keep writing them down, requests. If you haven't heard from somebody in a long time and you would like to, or you're not quite sure where you sit in a relationship with somebody, maybe you've had a falling out of some sort or you haven't talked to them for a long time, they've moved away, make your request. Write that down and have it in your mind. Hold it in your mind. And your intention is to connect with that person or to know what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. And I guess even if you get snippets of the dream, if you know that in the dream there was a barking dog, just write down barking dog.
Well, dog is man's best friend, so then you want to go and look at and find out what it means when that dog's barking.
I see.
And when you're talking about snippets, thank you for bringing that up, Jeannie, because sometimes when we're dreaming, we don't have complete dreams. We might have just a fragment of a dream. But whatever it is you remember, whatever stands out in that dream, that's where your message is. Doesn't matter that you've forgotten the rest of the dream. If you remember looking for a toilet, not being able to find one, then if that's the most predominant part of the dream, then that's what you need. That's the part that's trying to tell you something. That's the only part you really need to remember.
Thank you.
Heather, like one thing that happened to me many years ago is I woke up from sleeping. I don't recall being in a dream just before I woke up, but could have been. And upon waking, I spoke to Ozzy and said, well, today, you know what we're going to do? And he said, no. And I said, we're going to go and buy Moody Park store. Now, it makes you wonder, did something happen in the dream that I probably didn't recall a dream, but that I woke up with that such a clear idea of what I was supposed to be doing, that something must have come through the dream state.
That's very possible, and it could be a decision that you've made in your subconscious. There may have been things you were throwing around, although you may not have even realized that you were that serious about it. But some within the subconscious, things have come together and melded into a positive that says, yes, do that. Almost like, you know, we could be thinking about things and not really concentrating on them. And then we just get this knowing, we get this strong intuitive feeling of, yes, I have to do that.
Yeah. It was about probably 8 months before that we had gone past the store and seen a sign for sale on it. And my husband made the comment, well, we should buy that store. But, you know, like that was 8 months before. But when it came about, we actually bought it in the same way as he suggested. I said, how would we do that? He said, oh, we'll trade the house on it. And we'd only been in the house for a month or two at the time, so really was no equity in it at that time. So, you know, it hadn't had a market jump or anything, so there wouldn't even have been enough money there to cover a sale. So I just kind of thought I dismissed it, but we had actually come back to British Columbia with the idea that many years before we had owned a store, grocery store, and that was something that we had in our mind to own again. And not having the wherewithal to do it at the time we came back, but a year and a half, 2 years later, a year later, we see this sign, and by 8 months after that, I wake up with this big light bulb moment to go and buy it, and we actually did, within 2 days, have the deal cut.
And all of those ideas and notions were floating around in the subconscious, and it's like it comes together and solidifies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you say to yourself, well, people say, well, how does that connect spiritually? Well, you know, the source, that whether we call it God or Great Manitou or whatever. In fact, I have a friend that says she calls it the Cosmic McMuffin. But regardless, you know, as we say in the chapel, God by any name is still the same God. From that source somewhere, in a subconscious mind or dream state or whatever, which is still done in that state where you're not conscious, the conscious mind isn't, you know, interrupting you.
Mm-hmm.
That information gets fed to you. Hey, this is the pathway you should be on. You know,
yeah,
I guess if we listen a bit more, right?
It brings up that idea of our higher self, and we're aware that there's a great shift going on in reality right now, in the cosmos and in the consciousness. And I'm wondering, Heather, if people are having more experiences in their dreams, messages coming from their own higher self.
I believe there is an expansion of that happening and a quickening of that happening right now. A lot of people with questions that aren't necessarily just today and their busy lives. It's going beyond that. And the experiences that people are having, they're going to places that don't exist here on this earth, and yet they're so very real, and and they feel as though that's home, or that they've been there and they know it, it's comfortable?
Well, you know, it just kind of crossed my mind here. I'm doodling while I'm talking to you. And would you believe that what I doodled while you were talking there was a penguin? So you're talking about symbolizing, because I know if I see that in the teacup, what that would mean. But if you were to dream of a penguin, what do you figure that might mean for a person?
Well, interesting that you bring that up, Barb, because a lot of what we dream is symbols, and that's the other benefit of keeping a journal, is that partially we have our own images that will come through as symbols repeatedly to guide us. And so that if that is coming up for, or any particular symbol or numbers are coming up for someone, they want to pay attention to that and find out what's going on there. So let's just have a look at penguin.
Yeah, so looking at a penguin.
So what the first thing you want to ask is, what does a penguin mean to you?
Yeah, like where is it located? It's in an area that is pretty barren, isn't it?
Yeah,
and yet it survives in a very barren state.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it has the ability to be on land and on water. So it's adaptable. It kind of made the transition between the water babies and the human standing up in the tall and walking on land people. So, you know, I'd kind of look at that and think, if that were a symbol that would come up, I'd be looking for the fact that although there may be, you know, things may not be growing, it might be like the winter time of the season in the person's life, but the survival, you know, they get through the winter. They survive in the winter. That is where they do their best, really.
And perhaps it's telling you you need to be more adaptable.
Yeah. Yeah. Flexible, more, you know, looking for what might be around that I can use, even though that it's more barren than what maybe that I'd want right now or whatever. Do you think that might have something to do there,
right?
Yeah, so just kind of look at that. The other thing I want to say, Heather, Elwood is here.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and really quite enjoying the program, by the way.
That's great.
Yeah, he's got a great big laugh going on here. And he said, you know, it was basically impressing me with the fact that that you and Jeannie are basically two of his best girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's our best guy.
He's our best man. Yeah.
And of course, you know, Heather's number one. I'll even tell you that. But, you know, Jeannie runs a close second there.
The thing about dreaming about particular animals or things, I want to take into consideration some of the aspects. Like if you're dreaming about birds, then you also want to look at feathers and flight and those kind of things. You're dreaming about bear. Bear is a huge symbol, especially in the Native American way, about telling us that it's time for some introspection, time to look within, time to do our own little hibernation.
Mm. And if you were to, like for me, a bear shows a prosperous animal, you know, well fed, and you know it gets what it needs to get. If you're seeing it out in the open, it's out there being fed and getting fat, you know. So feel a bit of prosperity with that type. And there's another thing, the interpretation that, you know, like even with teacup readers, when I'm teaching people to read or cards or whatever, the interpretation has to be coming from the person, right? Pretty much. I mean, you can help along as a dream coach to help somebody kind of work through the series, can you not?
Absolutely. And I just want to go back to a minute to that penguin dream, Bart.
Oh, yeah?
Penguins can literally jump out of the water and land on their feet.
Yeah.
And you seem to be like a lady that's done that a lot in your life.
I don't know. And it could be on barren land, too.
Yeah, 5 or 6 feet, you know, right up out of the water and land on its feet. And you also want to look at the symbolism of water. And remembering that it's associated with the feminine, the birth-giving experiences, the renewal, and exertion of expression, how they express themselves.
And I'm a water sign, so...
And when you're a water sign, you want to take all those things into consideration.
Yeah, so it's really
the landing and leaping.
I also have a friend
really
who's a water sign, a really close friend that collects penguins, so maybe she's listening in tonight.
There
so we'll
are.
Say hi to Lil if she's listening. Hi, Lil. I'm drawing your penguins down here. She's moved back up to Penticton. She was raised there. And she and her husband have finished their working life as far as working out, not working life, but working out for other people. And they've gone up to Penticton and are having an absolute blast up there.
Great.
Yeah. And well, this is one of the good stories when people return home or, you know, go move to some place that they've always thought they'd like to go to, but they wait till their 60s to do it. No, it doesn't always work for everybody.
No.
But it's working really well for them. It's been her dream live, you know, at Dream, and the penguin being her symbol, whereas the elephant is my symbol. There's a good one for you before we go.
All right.
The elephant. Yeah.
Jeannie's got something to say while we delve into the elephant. Just want to remind everybody in our last 10 minutes, if they want to call in, to dial 1-888-815-9756 and share your dream with us or ask some questions about your dreams. It's a fascinating subject because when it comes right down to it, we spend a third of our life sleeping.
Well, we better, because if we don't spend it, we're not getting enough rest.
That's
and then
right.
We're probably going to shorten our life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and if we don't, you know, really have enough dream time, I think we're not as healthy as we could be.
That's true. And that might be some of the reasons why people say, well, I just don't dream or I don't remember my dreams. And we are a very sleep deprived civilization, I would say worldwide. And
I mean, the fact they don't remember them isn't as bad as if they think they don't have them at all, or if they do not have them because they don't sleep enough or not resting properly.
It's very, very important to be able to get delta sleep when you go to sleep, because that's the opportunity for the subconscious mind to vent all of the information that was crammed into our consciousness all day long. And without sleep, the pressure builds. It's like a holding tank. Mm-hmm. And it's super, super important to be able to release that information. And if you're not sleeping properly, really see about what you can do to assist that. And if, in the meantime, use as much time as you possibly can in deep meditation.
For sure. Mm-hmm. We should tell people, too, that... to come to Inner Garden, just look on 64th Avenue at 146, and there's a sign that says The Chapel. We're there Sunday at 11 o'clock for service, and we have things going on through the week at www.innergarden.com is where you can find out about it. You can even watch a church service there if you're a deprived person and can't get out to church. So we have some really good speakers like Jeannie and Heather and, you know, a number of other people. So do tune into us and keep listening every other week for us here. We're going to have a lady from Toronto who's a traditional spiritualist, if you want to put it that way, is going to come up and give us some training, and we're going to have her on air with us next time, Jeannie.
That's fabulous.
That'll be good. So how are you doing with that elephant there, girl?
Well, the elephant is, of course, a sign of power and strength. And loyalty. Elephants are very closely connected with family.
Uh-huh.
And they stay together as family for a long time. In fact, most of them you will find, as I saw when I was in Africa, was the great-grandma right down to the youngest baby would all still be in the same family group and maintaining that. So there's
quite a bit to say, of course. They are supposed to be animals that don't forget anything.
Yeah, I have that trait.
Consider that.
And they're not a good trait.
Yeah. Their trunk, they have poor eyesight, so they rely heavily on the sense of smell and their trunk. And so you want to be discerning, what does it smell right in the sense of, you know, is there a rotten egg in the batch here?
It's funny, you know, because that is my most acute sense, is my sense of smell. Yeah. And I was gassed when I was a child in a coal gas in a theater. And from that time on, I've had a really high sense of smell. And I think it's because I pay more attention to what I smell. You know. But anyway, it looks like we're almost getting out of time. Anything you'd like to say, Jeannie, about your work, or Heather, about your work?
Well, I'd just like everyone to know that if they can be assisted at all with hypnotherapy, to look up my website at www.westcoasthypnosis.ca. And just on that site, they'll have a lot of their questions answered. And if there's anything I can do in that regard, just give me a call on the number that's on that site.
That's great. What about you, Heather? You got some things going right now?
I'd just like to say thank you for including me in the show tonight, and I hope everybody out there has enjoyed it. And if you want to know
sure
more about
they
your
did.
Dreams,
they're not phoning in, though, anyway.
We'll run another workshop and let you get really into your dreams.
That would be good. I think to have an actual workshop where people can work through a dream journal, maybe tell them that we're going to have the workshop a month ahead and have them journal for a month.
Absolutely.
That would be excellent. Excellent. So thank you, guys. And thank BBS Radio. Definitely has tremendous programs out there, give opportunity to all of us to come on the air. And so we'd like to thank you and thank all the people from Inner Garden and from Jeannie and I. We do sponsor this program for the chapel. And we will see you in 2 weeks. Thanks, Jeannie. Thanks,
thank
Heather.
You. And thank you, Heather. Thank you very much for including me.
Okay. Good dreams.
Good dreams.